So when a cup is full, there is no room to have any tea. And to enjoy sipping a cup of tea. When your mind is full, there is no way to enjoy the peace. To realize the inner tranquility of our true nature. Every time a thought arises, you chase it. Every time an emotion or a feeling arises, you get concerned about it. And this is how you keep the veil in front of your eyes. You wake up in the morning, I thought after I thought, concern. Concern about yourself, concern about tomorrow, concern and worry about what you did yesterday, concern about how your day will go, regrets, resolutions, just the spinning and spinning of the mind. You know you love the peace and the tranquility but the way you live is feeding your concerns. When you are feeding your concerns, when every I thought distracts you and attracts you, every sensation becomes so important for you, you need to fix it. Although you love the peace and the happiness, although you love the truth, you're not living according to your love. At some level, you understand the difference between the impermanent and the permanent. But your understanding is not being lived. You don't live your understanding. Because every time you chase a worldly event, every time you are concerned about something that is happening. Something that is happening in the world. Something that is happening in your body. Something that is happening in your mind. You are being concerned about a worldly event, about a mind event. And you are more interested in the impermanent, and you are living subject to the impermanent, trying very hard to transform it into a better show. And as you're doing that, there is turmoil. You mistake yourself to be a worldly event. You mistake yourself to be a phenomenal event. You mistake yourself to be this individual separate consciousness, which is a mentation. You ignore the truth and you follow the myth. The myth of an individual self, which is a mentation. It's maintained. This mentation, this impression of separate self is maintained via your inattention, your inattention. Your inattention feeds the illusion. And this is how the I thought, the belief in me, the belief that consciousness is individual, is maintained. This is how you forget about God. By remaining concerned. With what you believe is yourself, what you believe is you as a person. But God is patient, will wait for you. Never forgets you. Always inviting you. Always inviting you, come to me. in everything that God does, in every event, every thought, every experience, every bodily sensation, every unfolding is divine. It's God speaking. If you perceive it otherwise, you are thumbing your nose at God. You are disregarding the divine conversation, the divine message that is brought to you minute by minute, moment by moment. Even as you are arrogantly ignoring the divine message, she continues to love you. There is only one mission that God has, which is to bring you back to her, bring you back to your divine nature. That is, this whole unfolding, this whole dream is about this one mission, to bring you back home. Coming home is a remembrance. It is remembering all the members coming together, remembering your true self, remembering your wholeness, remembering your totality, remembering your eternity, remembering your infinity, remembering your formless nature that appears as all forms, remaining formless. The form is a toboggan. How do you say toboggan? Yes, it's a slide. Thank you. The form, the body, the mind, the world is a slide to the ocean, to the divine. It's a channel to the divine. It is steered by the hand of God. It is steered by the divine hand, not by you. You as a person, as a separate consciousness, as a personal consciousness. You as the divine. Very important to be clear about what you love, what your heart desires. Nobody can tell you that, but you can for yourself. Find out for yourself, what is it that you truly love? What is it that you truly, 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 truly love? What is it that you truly aspire for in your heart of hearts? Be very clear about that. Very clear about what is it that you truly love. And do not compromise it. Do not compromise it. When a ship leaves a harbor, going from New York to Madagascar, the captain knows the course, never forgets the course. If a certain stream, Gulf Stream, or a certain tempest moves the boat slightly, of course, the captain goes, of course, with the tempest, but recalls, Madagascar recalls the destination and steers the boat when the tempest is over back to the destination. When you get distracted along the way, you want to stop and visit every island. You want to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner in every island and learn the language of the natives on every island. In time, you will forget Madagascar, you will forget your destination, you will get distracted by the culture, the music, or whatever it is that will distract you along the way. You have to be clear-minded about what it is that you really, really want. And be very careful. If your desire is worldly, you will get a worldly desire. You will get a worldly result that will bring a spark of happiness, only a spark of happiness, and then will shift and change on you, because everything that is worldly is constantly changing, impermanent, is not real in the eternal, in its eternal quality. It has no eternal quality. You are here because you love the divine. You are here because you love the truth. A truth lover is willing to give up everything for the truth. Will not compromise. Will not say yes, but make sure that I don't lose my job, or make sure that I don't lose my leg, or make sure that I don't lose my friendships and my friends, etc. No. There are no conditions that a truth lover puts out in the space. None. Only says yes to the truth. Only says yes to the truth. And what is not the truth? Saying yes is saying yes to everything. Because truth is God, and God is everything and everywhere. You say yes to the weather. You say yes to worldly events. You say yes to thoughts that arise. You say yes to events that happen to the body, in the body. In a way, even to say yes is too much, because you cannot say no. How can you say no to the weather? How can you say no to a bodily sensation? How can you say no to a thought. Even to say yes is too much. Because yesness is what divinity is. So God is yes, is a big yes, without a no. Thought says no. But that very no that thought says, God says yes to that. You follow? Even the no thought is a yes from the divine. Consciousness is yesness. Every thought is already yes from consciousness perspective. The no thought is from the imagined separate me, imagined self, imagined person, imagined individual consciousness. But that very imagination and that very act of resistance, the no embodiment, that in itself is yes from consciousness. What accompanies the no from the imagined separate consciousness is a physiological bodily contraction. That physiological body contraction, that angst, that anxiety, that worry, that discomfort is a yes from consciousness. Consciousness says yes to that. And in this yesness, it's reminding you to return to the yes, return to the divine, to return to the truth, to return to the real. And the return to the real, the return to the truth, is the yesness. It's an unconditional yes. Not yes, but. Not yes, if. Not yes, when. Why mistake yourself to be a mortal body-mind? There is no happiness in that. What happiness is there in the identification with the mortal body-mind? What says that you are a mortal body-mind? Ask yourself this question. It is an inherited belief. Thought says, I am a man. I am a body, mind. Thought says that. And this has been repeated for so long that we feel it is true. We actually feel as if I am this body mind sitting in a chair. But if you go directly to the truth, which is right here, right now, your direct experience, you will not find somebody sitting in a chair. You will only find somebody sitting in a chair in thought. Some image, some memory, some thought. But if you go directly to your experience right here, right now, you will not find somebody sitting in a chair. So why do you continue this belief system that I am this body-mind? And then there is all the concern about the body-mind. It's very important that you examine your experience, the truth, and not just abide by inherited beliefs. The beliefs that we have inherited did not come from the sages. Our parents, our educators, our political leaders, our nannies were not sages, are not sages. What we have inherited from them is not wisdom. We've inherited belief systems that we have, because we were young, easily accepted, because we needed their protection, we needed their assistance, we needed their help, we needed their love. So we are open. And although we have benefited from their love and their affection, we have also inherited these belief systems. The belief that I am a person, that I am a personal consciousness, that this consciousness is a personal consciousness. So when we come here in this gathering, we look at that, we question that, we wonder, is that so? If you go to your library, to your files, to your file cabinets, you will find, yes, it is so. That's what I've inherited. That's what I've learned. You go through the folders, you go through the files, you find images of you as a 5-year-old girl or a 10-year-old boy. And so there is, in your files, in thought and memory, you will find support for, yes, I am a personal consciousness. I am this boy. I am this man. I am this woman. But that is not what we do here. We do not recite our remembered luggage. We look directly. In looking directly right here, right now, what determines that consciousness is personal? What determines that you are a person? From your direct experience right here, right now, is there somebody sitting in the chair? There might be a sensation. Let's say, for example, the sensation of your feet on the ground. So let's go to the sensation of our feet on the ground right now. Yes, let's go to the sensation of the feet on the ground. And let's remove from that sensation the word feet. And let's remove from the sensation the word ground. Let's remove from the sensation the word me. The word my feet. My feet. Let's remove the word ground. Can you locate anything? Can you locate the sensation? It to locate the sensation, you have to go back to feet. You have to bring in your folder. There's a folder that says feet. There's a folder that says my feet. There is a folder in the file that says ground. But here we're going directly to the experience. Go directly to the experience. Directly to the sensation. Without interpretation. Can you locate the sensation? Can you separate? Is there a line somewhere where you can separate any part of the sensation from any other part of the sensation? Can you separate your awareness of the sensation from the sensation? Is there any part of the sensation where the awareness of the sensation is not? Is there any location where the sensation starts? Any location where it ends? Is there any time to this sensation? Are there any borders? Are there any edges? Can you find any place where your awareness of the sensation is not? everything that manifests. Is intimately one with consciousness. Awareness. Every thought is intimately one with the awareness that knows it. The awareness that knows the thought or that knows the sensation is borderless, is not contained in any container. You look directly at your experience and ask yourself, is there in my direct experience any container, any edges, any borders to the awareness that hears these words? Is there any container? Are there any borders to the awareness that is aware of this bodily sensation? Awareness is borderless, formless, edgeless, infinite. Non-local. This is why it is said, nowhere is it not. Nowhere am I not. I am everywhere. I am everything. And you go to your experience. You hear these words. Do you that hears these words? Are there any borders to the awareness that hears these words? Go directly to your experience. This very thought that you're perceiving right now, is there any limitation, any borders, any edges to the awareness that is aware of this thought, to the awareness that takes the form of this thought? Go directly to your experience. Are there any borders to the awareness of this thought, the awareness that is aware of this thought? The awareness has taken on the form, the shape of this thought. Are there any borders to that? Is there any form to that? Is there any shape to that? That perceives Is there any weight, any density to that? Is there any location to that that perceives the thought? The core of ignorance is, I am this body. You perceive this thought. The thought arises, I am this body. I, consciousness, perceive this thought. I, awareness, I perceive this thought. You perceive the thought like you perceive a bird flying past your window. You perceive this thought. This thought has become frozen. I am this body. So every time you look out, you see this tree. This tree is there. Every time you look out, you see this tree. It is not moving away. It does not move away. But even if it does not move away, you are perceiving the tree. You are perceiving the thought or the sensation, I am this body. What is this you that perceives the tree? What is this you that perceives the I am the body sensation, that perceives the I thought, that perceives the me sensation? An object cannot perceive another object. A tree does not perceive another tree. Only awareness is aware. Only consciousness is conscious. Only consciousness perceives. Sometimes it perceives using the eyes. Sometimes it perceives using insight. Sometimes it perceives using dreams. Sometimes it perceives whatever means it uses. But its perceptive capacity, its perceptive juices are what it's made of. It is made of perceptiveness. And it is not in need of an injection to perceive. It does not need an infusion to perceive. It is made out of perceptiveness. Its very substance is consciousness. So consciousness is conscious because its very substance is consciousness. Awareness is aware because its very substance is awareness. It is not aware because of dot, dot, dot. It is aware in and of itself. In and of itself. It can be aware of objects or it can be aware of no objects. Aware of itself. Self-awareness. Consciousness being conscious of itself. You know you are conscious. Don't you? How do you know you are conscious? Did you ask your mother, Mother, am I conscious? Or did you go read a book, open the book at page 56, and you read about consciousness, and because you read that book, you realize that you are conscious? Did you go and consult an astrologer and ask the astrologer, please tell me, am I conscious? No. You know you are conscious. You know it directly because you are consciousness, and consciousness knows it is conscious. It does not need to knock on the next door neighbors and ask them. You perceive the I thought, you perceive I am this body mind, you perceive the me sensation, you perceive the body. Why identify with something you perceive? You perceive a sensation, you perceive a thought. Why identify with a perceivable if you are the perceiver? Just be the perceiver. There is no need for identifying with a perceived. What is the point of that? To make yourself miserable. Every day you go out and you polish your car. You bought it in 1952, you're still polishing it every day. This car is going to be the zombie car. How exhausting. Be light-hearted about the world, meaning feather-like, light with a little humor and gentleness and ease of being. What remains, remains, then it goes, let it go. Like when the door is open and the dog walks in, don't chase it away or lock the door so you keep it. Just be light-handed about the world, body and mind. When a certain action is needed, it will arise to you, because consciousness, awareness is intelligence. It will arise to you. Now I need to change my diet. Now I need to visit my doctor. Now I need to attend to my vehicle. I need to do the oil change to my vehicle. You know, sometime this week. If you have a flat tire, you need to fix it sometime over the next half hour. Or if you are planning to use your vehicle. Yeah? Intelligence is there. You don't need to do any effort to become intelligent. You are intelligence. But you are not wise. The wise are light-handed about the world, body, mind. They don't ride one horse to death. They don't grab on to certain impermanent things and want to turn them into permanent objects of happiness. That's not wise. Go with the flow. When you need to stir the boat slightly to the right and it's possible, you do so. When it's not possible, you go with the flow. When it's possible for you to stop the boat to stop the embankment, you do so. If it's not possible, you will get off at the next station. Be easy about all of that. Don't make any worldly mission. Only one mission, the awakening to your true nature, your divine mission, Don't get wrapped up into worldly missions. The divine provides, takes care of gravity, takes care of the galactic order. When it's time for a volcanic eruption, you can let the divine take care of these matters. You just participate in a light-hearted manner with your gaze only set on the truth, only set on the awakening from the illusion of personal consciousness, awakening from the illusion of separation. That is the cause of your misery.